It's already been good to be here this morning. I feel the presence of the Lord. I want you to know that wherever you are and you can feel the presence of the Lord, it's good to be there. I want to give my reading lesson this morning before I make any other statements, because I've got to make some statements to you. But I want to tell you, we're going to be reading from Matthew 24, chapter 24 in Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew. I want to say to you, Mount Calvary, thank you for asking me to come. And I want to say to you, from the very moment I heard about it, my heart rejoiced. And I began to search. And I have studied. I've attempted to study. I've been trying to study on faith, and I thought, you know, studying a lot on faith, looking at it, and I thought that's what I was going to have to try to preach on today. But just here a couple of two or three days ago, I'm going to tell you about how it works with us as God's men that He's called to preach. We get to studying on something and we think we're all right in it, and the next thing you know, it doesn't seem to be coming like it was. Then I began to turn back to God again. God, what is it? What is it that we need here today? So I had a thought here some time ago, and this thought sounds, I guess, cruel in a way, but it's what got me to looking in this passage of Scripture that I'm looking at today. The thought come to me so plain, and it's a plain, ordinary statement. What are you waiting for? And I thought, what did that, you know, what did that have to do with anything? And I got to thinking, well, God, you're going to have to give me something on this. And I got to studying and looking, because what God has really laid upon my heart today to attempt to preach on today, and I can't do it without God's help, is the prophecy of the end time. Or prophecy of the end, which in another sense is called the day of the Lord. I want you to know that the day of the Lord wasn't when He came to die for us. That was a time when He came as a lamb slain for the foundation of the world. For had it not been for Him coming to do that, it would be no need for me to even be standing here today. It would be no need for us to even be gathered here today. Because of that promise that was given to those back in the Old Testament, that was a promise, was given to Abraham, that there was going to be a Redeemer come. Woo! He hadn't come yet, but there was a promise that He was coming. And you can be assured that promise from God was fulfilled when Christ came into the world to die on the cross. And as it's already been stated this morning, He came and died for all mankind. Amen. For everyone. But I got to stand up here and tell you today, the sad part of that is not everyone will surrender or obey the gospel and be saved. And you know, that's a sad thing to say. And some people say, well, what are you going to say that for? Because the Bible teaches it. And you know why? Because people let pride stand in their way. And so what God's given me today to preach to you about, there is an end time coming. And by the way, it's not here yet. But what I do believe, the Bible teaches also in the last days. In Timothy, that says in the last days, perilous times shall come. I can't tell you how long we've been living in the last days. I've been hearing about this ever since I was a boy. And I'm sure it was probably preached to before, even before my time as a child. The last days. The only thing that I can tell you that I can even get close to even telling you what the last days are, it's a possibility, and I don't know whether I can actually prove this or not. It's a possibility. It's probably the last days has been after Christ had fulfilled all righteousness and ascended up to heaven. And all I can tell you is maybe the last day starts from there. I don't know. But we're living in the last days. And I don't know how far back it goes, but we're still living in them. I know y'all have already been praying for me today, but I need your prayers continually. I want to tell you before I get started today on this thought that God's given me. There is a lot of people that get hung up on so many different ideas about what's going to happen before the end comes. But what God has laid upon my heart to preach to you today, I'm going to be taking right here from the Bible. And you know, there's a lot of different ideas. I'm not no Bible scholar. Don't claim to be. But I will tell you one thing. God has revealed to me the importance of this thought today that the end is coming. And we, as all people, if there's any here lost and separated from God, and you know who you are, because God will let you know that. He did me. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, just as sure as you're sitting there today under the sound of our voice, as the Holy Spirit is here today, He'll let you know how you stand with Him. And if you're not sure, you better be going to God. You can pray to God right now while I'm trying to speak. And you can come to the altar if you're not sure. Even while I'm trying to speak, I'm sure the church would be glad for you to come to the altar. It's not going to hinder me. It's not going to hinder me. Because the most important thing is to be prepared for that time. For you see, not everybody's going to live down to the end. People are dying every day. The Bible teaches us that man's life... Let's just go back to the 14th chapter of Job. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth as a flower and is soon cut down. What God is saying, our life is short. What God is saying, according to His Word, that you are going to die. What God is saying, according to that, is because of the sin debt that was passed there in the Garden of Eden. That penalty was passed down upon all generations of mankind. So you're going to die. The Bible even placely states in there that even man knows. I'm sure that every man knows, or woman and child knows, that they're going to die someday. A lot of times you don't want to think about it. A lot of times you don't want to dwell upon it. A lot of times you don't even want to make mention of it. But it's going to happen. And so God is saying, according to the Word of God, our bodies are going back to the dust of the earth from which it came. And there's going to come a separation when this soul leaves this body. Then there won't be no more opportunity. If you have not got saved before that time, and that's where down here in this life, while you're living, while you're breathing, you have an opportunity to seek the Lord. But after you take that last breath and your soul leaves your body, it won't have any other opportunity. It'll be over for you. what God has laid upon my heart today. You know, we need to, as God's people, we need to proclaim this from the housetop, from the mountains, or wherever we go. A man doesn't have very much more opportunity to seek the Lord. Don't know that. I don't know how long it is. God does not give us that He has called out into ministry a certain time and saying, preacher, stand up there and tell them they've only got this certain length of time. I just will tell you this, it's short. And what we're about to read to you is here, if we can get to it, there was men here that come before Jesus, and what is the sign of your coming? What is the sign of your coming? Talking about His coming again. What's already been stated here today, and I said, and I listened, even in the song that this brother sang up here a while ago about us as the Lord's church, the bride. He's coming back to get us, but He's coming back to get all of His people one day after a while. We're not going to be left here. He's coming back to get us. And as He said, there's a trumpet going to blow. And I have made the statement, I don't know what that trumpet's going to sound like. Whew. But I can tell you one thing. When that angel sounds that trumpet, every ear's going to hear it. Even the bodies in the graves going to hear it. They're going to come forth. The dead, the living, everybody's going to hear it. You won't miss it. It won't be missed. What we're trying to preach to you today is a serious thing. And I don't know why that we need it. Yes, I do know why. Because God wants it preached. God wants it preached. I want to tell you, I'll try to get to my reading lesson here in a minute. God wants us, and I believe this message can be to us as the church. And not only us as the church, but God's people. I want you to understand today, I love every one of you because God has placed a love in my heart for you. And even those that I don't know, I love you. And even those that may be lost and separated from God, I love you. I want you to be saved if you're not saved. I want you to know what I know today and what I have within my heart. And that assurance that I have that one day I'm going to be able to look on the face of Jesus. And still live. Why? Because He's given me the gift of eternal life. I'm not waiting to receive it. I've already received it. Back when I was just a little boy, when my heart was troubled, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I was pricked in the heart that night when I heard the gospel, and the gospel was preached unto me. And this is why that I say that it needs to be stood on today. Death is sure. Hell is real. Eternity is long. And life is short. And what are you doing about it? I'm going to try to read this, if I may, in just a few verses. And we'll try to go from there. Listen to what Jesus was telling them here. This is a prophecy of the end. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him to shew Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? He's asking them a question. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? I'm telling you, I believe their hearts were stirred when they heard about this. And I tell you what, today, if you're sitting under the sound of our voices, we as God's people, our hearts needs to be stirred. And those that are lost and separated from God, your hearts as well needs to be stirred. You need to be troubled in your heart today. Why? Because Jesus is saying, I'm coming back. And I thought, You may think this is, might be a little bit funny, but I've got to tell it anyway. The thought come to me yesterday as I was trying to study and ponder for this. You know, sometimes Jesus came before his disciples and he gave them plain things that they could understand. Why? Because a lot of the other stuff they couldn't. But this is easy understood of most of all of you that are old as I am, I guess. But the young ones may not know it. But back when we was kids, we used to play what we call hide and seek. Any of y'all know what that is? Well, let me go through it just a little bit. There'd be somebody had to be chosen to be the one to count. You'd have to go and stand some certain place, and you'd have to stand there and count till everybody went and hid that was playing in the game. And you counted and give them time to hide. And you know, when you got through with that last number, whatever you was to count to, you know what you said? Ready or not, here I come. Jesus said, ready or not, here I come. And I know that sounds cruel, but when we get through with this today, you're going to understand that God is a loving, caring God. He's a just God. One is giving people ample opportunity to seek the Lord, and they refuse Him. They refuse to seek Him. Why? Because they want to come man's ways. They want to come their own way. They want to come some way that some other way that man has come up with. Because why? Because that way they don't have to be troubled in their heart. That way they don't have to give a loose of their pride and turn loose of their pride and turn loose of anything like the rich man did. He said, "You really stepped." No, he didn't really say this. "You really stepped on my toes when you said I got to give up everything, Jesus, and come and follow you." You know what people don't realize? You really don't have to give up a whole lot of anything at all or anything, but you got to be willing. There's a difference in being willing and actually doing it. And you know, people don't even see that today. God wants you to understand you got to be willing to give up everything, forsake everything. In other words, turn loose of everything and seek the Lord with all your heart. Yes, even give up your own life if necessary. That's what he says. And people don't want to do that today. Is it coming to light to you a little bit more about why I'm saying that not everybody's going to make it to heaven? You know, there's a lot of people today, and I'm going to have to say this. There's a lot of people today that think they're going to make it. Well, I might make it, or maybe I'm going to. If I do this, or if I do that, I'm going to tell you right now, according to the Word of God, the only way you're going to make it is by the blood of the Lamb, and it's got to be applied to your heart, and you got to come through a faith and repentance from a broken and a contrite spirit, seeking the Lord with all of your heart as God draws you by His Holy Spirit power, and believing in Him until the saving of your soul, till you satisfy God.
Amen.
Till you satisfy God in repentance and faith. You know, people, they don't want to do that today. Too old fashioned. Too old timey. We don't want to come that way. God only made one gospel plan, salvation, for all mankind. I'm a firm believer that He made it not only from those back in the Old Testament all the way down through the New Testament. It's not changed. They all had to come by faith. They had to believe. They had to believe with all their heart.
Amen.
They did. Yes, they did. I told you a while ago, they were given a promise back in the old Bible. Why? Because Christ hadn't come yet. He hadn't come and died yet. They had to have a promise. God promised them. As sure as that promise it was. I tell you, when we think about the love of God, think about this. And I think it's Peter's writing over there that the Lord is not slack concerning some promise, as men have slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. That's the love of God. He's not willing that you should perish. He don't want you to die and go to the devil's hell. Nobody. Jesus, He came into the world and said He was Lord of all. That means he came into the world to be the Lord of all.
Amen.
It didn't mean that he was going to be Lord over all with you just not doing anything. It doesn't mean you have to work. You know, some people want to get this mixed up all about works. It ain't got anything to do with works, because it's like the Bible says, if it's by the law, then it's not of faith. But if it's of faith, then it's not of the law. The law is just to be a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ through faith that we might be saved.
Amen.
That's all it is. It's a schoolmaster. What that means, it teaches us you can't make it there on your own. That's exactly what it means. You can't make it there on your own. Nobody can. You know, we talked about this morning in Sunday school. God, I'm going to tell you how much he loves you. Whew. Think about it. Just think about how much God really loves mankind. That he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He made a gospel plan of salvation before you was ever thought of. So you'd have a way to do what? Make it back to him.
Amen.
Well, sure. You know, a lot of times people don't want to recognize themselves as being a sinner. I stand before you today, a sinner saved by the grace of God. You know why I tell you that? Because I'm still a sinner in this flesh. God has not yet made this flesh perfect. It still sins. It still comes short. But the Bible teaches me the reason why we have to be saved, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one, except Jesus Christ. He was the only one that came into this world perfect. That's why he was the only one that could go to the cross of Calvary for us. That's why he was the only one that could shed his blood, because it was perfect. It was without sin. Our blood is sinful. This natural blood is sinful. When you see it come out of you, it's sinful. But you know what? When God saves our soul, that down in there that you can't see, when God saved my soul, that down in there, and I'm going to stand up here and tell you, if you've truly been saved, you are too. You're just as perfect on the inside as God is. His seed is remaineth in you. And the Bible says you cannot see. That's talking about the inward man. People have a hard time with the inward man, the outward man today. They can't separate them. But I will tell you one thing. They're going to be separated one day. God is saying that there's going to come a separation with when our soul leaves this body. And according to the word, and I don't know all about all of this stuff. I told you a while ago I don't. He just says it's going to go back to God who gave it. And I don't understand it, but I'm going to tell you one thing that I do believe with all of my heart. If you die without the Lord and you go stand before God and he's going to turn you and say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. The reason why you're going to hell is because of your own sin of unbelief. Your own way. Not according to God. You sent yourself there. You know, I'm going to tell you another way God really loved mankind. He didn't create hell for man. No, he didn't. He created it for the devil and his angels. But you know what? Man chooses to go there. When you think about the Word of God and what it teaches in there, everything that God created, he said it was good. But you know what man has done? He has distorted it. He has caused it sinful. In every way, he still is today. He's turning everything around to be sin. Even the things that God has, everything that God has created, he's tainting it with sin. Now, do you know why God's going to destroy this old earth? It's not that the earth itself was sinful. It's because man has made it sinful. Man has made it sinful. He's taken what God has given us So what God is saying when that end comes, and I don't know when it is. I don't have a clue. Let me read a little bit more here. It said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." Listen to what I'm reading. And then it says, "But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Think about what I'm reading to you. Do you watch the news very much? Do you see all these signs coming to pass that have already come to pass? They've already been. They've already happened. This is prophesied that they were going to happen. They've already been fulfilled. They still are today. Nations rising up against nations. Earthquakes in divers places. It's still happening. And pestilences, famines. People are starving to death in other countries. Let me tell you, it's happening right now. You know, if this right here doesn't stir the heart of God's people and stir the heart of those that are lost, you better be getting on your knees. It stirs my heart. It stirs my heart. It troubles me. We need to be troubled over this today. You know why? Because God has given me this message for a reason. You know, every one of us are supposed to be putting our full trust in God that have been saved. And you know, this is one of the things that I thought of when I first started studying before I came down here. I thought, you know, we all had to trust in a God we couldn't, and I say a God, I mean the God, I should say the God, that we couldn't see. You couldn't touch, but you sure could feel. I sat over here a while ago and I felt my heart pounding. I thought, oh Lord, my heart's pounding. And then I got to thinking, because that's what happened to me before I had that passing out spell. And I thought, no, this ain't what's happening to me. God is working on me this morning. My heart's pounding because of Him. Yours should be. Yours should be. You know, when we think about this message today, about time is short and it's swiftly passing by, and we see all these things. I don't know whether I'm going to get to this here. I did study over it, but the Bible says that, and this is one of the things that I found when I got to reading this, that the end should not come until the gospel should be preached in all nations. You know, I thought the scripture said to every creature. But it said to all nations. I read it. Y'all ever read it? It says all nations. It doesn't say to every creature. God has taught us that we need to go out here and preach the gospel to every creature. But He is saying in there that it's going to be preached in all the nations. And then the end shall come. It doesn't say when. It doesn't even say when then. It says then the end shall come. That's what it says. So how far of a span we got? We don't know. I will tell you this. God is trying to say through me today, if a person is sitting by idly, knows without a shadow of a doubt they're lost. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't really seek the Lord till God draws you. It takes the drawing power of God to draw you unto Him. You might sit back and you might say, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. That's your first mistake. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to wait till some other time. More convenient time. Or maybe when the pastor's back. Or maybe when mom and dad's going to be here, or Uncle Joe, or Aunt Sally, or somebody else. Maybe I'm just going to wait to a time when I can just, I tell you what, until I can just make sure I can live a perfect life. That's what I'm going to do. I'll just wait for me. Are you sure you're going to have that time? Not according to the Word of God, you're not. I read about a rich man in the Bible who was one that prospered. In Luke's writing, I called him a rich man, but he was a farmer, and I guess he was pretty wealthy because he must have been sort of wealthy because he took and his crops was given out so much and prospering so much he had to tear down his old barns and build greater ones. You know what he said? He said to his soul, be at ease, for I've got many things laid up for me. And it's like, just told his soul to be at ease. I believe that man had heard. I do. I believe that man had heard. But you know what he'd done? He refused. Turned it away to a more convenient time. But guess what happened to that man? You can turn over and read it if you want to. I think it's in the 12th chapter of Luke. Turn over there and read it sometime. I'm not going to try to turn over there right now, but you know what he said? God came to him. That night, he said, "Thou fool." I thought I was going to be able to quote it. "Thy soul is required thee this night, and who shall these things then be?" That you have kept. What he's saying. Who's these things going to be for then? You know what he had done? He had come down to the end of his life and he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared. God took his life. And you might say, well, that's not a just and true and living God. Well, yes, it is. How many times does God have to be required to give you an opportunity to seek the Lord? I really can't put no number on it. You know, some have went for years. Some maybe didn't go very long. And their life was snuffed out. You know, one of the worst things you can do, it ain't going out here and killing somebody. That's bad. I mean, it ain't going out here and raping somebody. That's bad. It ain't going out here and stealing from somebody. That's bad. But the worst thing you can do is to deny the Holy Spirit when it deals with your heart and turn from it and not take heed to it and obey the gospel. That's the worst thing you can do. That'll send you to hell quicker than anything. And I tell you what, you know, a lot of times people don't, nowadays, they don't want to speak the name hell. They want to say Hades. They want to cut it down to some less aggressive sounding word. It don't sound near as bad. I tell you what, some of them will even try to tell you is that hell's here on earth, but it ain't. It's not. Not according to the Word of God. It's to me. And I'm going to tell you right now why. I hope we can get into it in a little bit. The earth's going to be destroyed. All the elements, everything's going to burn with fervent heat. It's going to be destroyed, so hell can't be here. Why? You know why the Bible teaches about hell is? It said when a person goes there, it said it's going to be a flame there, that it's going to be like an eternal flame, never to burn up. I don't believe this earth's going to be burning continually. I believe it's going to be burned up. According to the scriptures, it's going to be totally destroyed. Then shall, now, and I, did I read 8? All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 8. All these are beginning of sorrows. You know, we think that when we think about this, we think that's bad. And it does sorrow our hearts, even today. You know, probably one of the most depressing thing that you can do is turn on your TV to a news channel, because there's very seldom anything good on there. You know what can really drag you down quick? That's it. Listen to the news. Why? Because there's nothing good to listen to. You hear about people being shot. You hear about a numerous amount of people being shot. You hear about people being destroyed in storms. I'm going to tell you what I really and truly believe with all of my heart. I believe God's trying to get our attention again today.
Amen. I really do. You say, well, you didn't give me no scripture for that. No, I didn't. I'm telling you that's what I believe. And I do. I didn't say I didn't give you scripture for that, but that's what I believe. I believe God's trying to get our attention. He has throughout each generation. Generation upon generation.
He did back in the old Bible. There is many things that happened to people back in the Old Testament. You know, even the people that he sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel out from the Egyptian bondage, and then because they turned away from him, turned back their backs on God, and started serving idols and worshiping idols and everything, he let them die so they wouldn't even be able to get in the promised land. And you say, is that a loving God? Yes, it is. It's a loving God because God is love. You know, because he's loved you enough to send his son in the world to die for your sins. But you didn't have to.
Amen.
That's how much he loves you. Even Psalmist David said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. And he said, because I will call upon him all the days of my life. That's what we ourselves need to do. It says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's happening right now. It's happening right now. And I don't know about you, but it seems like it's getting closer and closer and closer to our own people. These that I've been listening to, they're all around us. But it's gradually getting closer and closer to us. And it's like it was said this morning. Listen. Our thought for today is a prophecy of the end. And it is sure that it's coming.
Amen.
And our... You that are lost, are you ready for that time? Now I'm going to say, you that are saved, are you ready for that time? And you might say, what do you mean saved? Yeah, I'm ready. I've done made preparations. But we don't know what we're going to have to face before then. We just studied in Sunday school. You know, we don't know yet what we're going to have to endure. And they ain't... The most gratifying, joyful place to be is close to the Lord.
Yes.
No other place. You might say, well, I think being down there at the ball game, I think that's a good place. You need to hear people just shouting and hollering and having a good time. Let me tell you something. That's not near as good as being close to the Lord. I'd rather be close to the Lord. I know what it's like to be straight out away from Him, even as one of God's children. I know what that's like. That's not a good feeling. Not even as a child of God, that's not a good feeling. You can't feel that closeness with Him. Yeah, He's there. Why? Because the Bible teaches that I will never leave you nor forsake you. You find that in the Old Testament and also in the New. That's a promise from God. He'll never leave us. That doesn't mean we won't leave Him. That means we won't walk off and stray away from Him. That means we don't get too far ahead of Him. But sometimes I have. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I want to comment on that right there, the best I can. God help me. I believe with all of my heart that if you look around, if you listen, if you watch, open up your eyes of understanding today, you're going to see a lot of God's people waxing cold in their heart. I'm serious. I'm serious as I can be standing up. I'm not standing up here talking about people. I'm just telling you what I see. People, just like they were back in the Old Testament times, there's many people today, they're putting up, even God's people, are putting so many things above God today than serving Him and worshiping Him. And the end is drawing nigh. The end is drawing nigh. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? We're sitting idly by and saying, well, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. It may not be. Maybe one of our loved ones won't make it. Maybe one of your friends won't make it. In the fold. That trumpet may sound, it'll be too late. And what were we doing? Sitting idly by. Yes, even in church service, sitting idly by. So let somebody else sing a song. Let somebody else testify. They don't want to hear me. Let somebody else be a witness to somebody down the street. Somebody else can do a better job than me. I just don't have the time. You know, time is short. You know, in the book of James, the Bible teaches that our lives are just like a vapor. They appear for a little while. Have you ever seen a vapor? It appeared for a little while, and then it's not long that it vanisheth away. Think about your own life today. It's short. You know, we get to looking forward to things, and I do. I get to looking forward to things, and I was looking forward to coming down here. Man, you know, it wasn't long that it was here. And I thought at the times, I thought, well, it's never going to get here. But here I am. I'm standing before you today. This time has done come. And you know, it won't be soon. It'll be past. We'll be going into the evening. We'll be in tomorrow morning. That's how quickly time is passing by. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I'm going to stop my reading there. I want to, I talked to you a little bit while ago about the last days, and that's in Timothy's writing, 2 Timothy, I believe. And I want to turn over there. I want us to look at this. This is the last days. This is not the day. This is the last days that he's talking about, which I believe we're living in right now, in the third chapter of 2 Timothy. This, and God wanted us to know, by the way, too. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I want you to think about all this while I'm reading this to you, and think about what's going on around you and that you see. They're lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which that means no self-control. That's what incontinent means. Am I pronouncing that right, incontinent? Yeah. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We see that today, don't we? You know, there's a lot of people today that have the form of godliness, and even are acting like all these other things, but they're still claiming God. They're still claiming Jesus. Having a form of godliness. In other words, they're having a form of religion, but they're denying the power thereof. They're denying the power of God. From such, turn away. Those type of people, they're nothing but trouble. All they'll try to do is try to tear down. Satan will use them to, and that's the reason why God wants us to beware of those people. I don't know how long I've been trying to preach today, and I want to give you some scriptures I haven't given you all the scriptures that's referring to that I looked at, but I want to give you these right here before I get ready to close. This is coming at the very end here, and it's talking about Jesus is going to be revealed from heaven. The Bible teaches me that he's going to be coming just like he left. How did he leave? You remember those two that were looking up into heaven? And it said, I think it was an angel? He said, fear not, for this same Jesus which you see going away shall return like manner. On clouds. He went away on clouds. He's coming back in clouds. You remember I read in your hearing a while ago that there's, and this has already happened, by the way, in that 24th chapter. There's already been how many times of cases where people have said that they rose up to be Christ and had followers. Many of them caused people to die, lose their lives because of they claimed to be Christ. He said, beware of those things. That's already happened. That's happened years and years ago. And I don't know, it may still be happening today. But Jesus is coming back on the clouds. The Bible says that the angel is going to sound the trumpet. Those that are in the grave, according to what I understand from the Word of God, they're going to rise first. And those that are alive and remain, that are saved, and I point that out, saved, they're going to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And you know what the Bible says? This is the wonderful thing about it. And forever shall we be with the Lord. Forever shall we be with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians, the 7th and 8th and 9th verse, I want to read to you, and then I'm going to try to close. I believe God's about through with me today, and I hope and pray that if you're sitting under the sound of our voice, that you understand that life is short. I never did get to the point of what there's some scripture over in the New Testament that teaches us that it talks about a time when the stars are going to fall from heaven at the end. The moon, I believe it says, is going to turn to blood. The earth is going to shake and it's going to tremble. Think about that. Think about that. That's right at the end. You might say, well, I'm going to have some little time right there. You may not. All of that can happen in a very quick time. The Bible also teaches there those that have failed, and this is not exactly the way it words it, but those that have failed to believe in the only begotten Son of God to the saving of their souls, they're going to be standing there in fear to see the face of Jesus. That's what it means. But those of us that are saved, we're going to be glad in our heart to see Him coming. But we're going to be glad. Why? Because it's like it was, I believe, brother, you sung up here a while ago, it's going to all be over. Everything is going to end that we had to go through in this life. And you know what? The church, even though we're not being persecuted today, like we probably think that it has been in the past. And brother, you did bring some of that up in our Bible study this morning, in the Sunday school this morning. The things that those people went through, if you don't have a trail of blood, you need to get it. Those martyrs that they gave their life for what I'm trying to do here today. They gave their life for the cause of God. You know, we as God's people, I also had a thought come to me here the other day. I'll try to be done here in a minute. I will. I promise you, I'll try to be done. I'm not here to worry your patience today. But let me tell you something. It might be that God's having me to prolong this a little bit longer. Maybe your heart needs to be stirred a little bit more. Maybe you need to ponder some of these things. I hope you do. If you're sitting under the sound of our voice and you're not saved and you know you're not, you need to be pondering this. Why? Because you may be down to the very wire of your life and not ready. You think about a place called hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. And it says there that they're burning in a flame that will never burn out, tormented forever. About to read to you about this in 2 Thessalonians, and I want you to listen to it. It might be, this may be the last opportunity you have. I was fixing to give you a thought, another thought that God gave me during our revival, while we was going through our revival. God, you know, God gives me thoughts sometimes, and I don't know why, but He does. Think about this. This is for us as God's children. Stay the course. Think about it. Stay the course. Don't let the things of this life drag you down to the point you can't serve God and worship God. Don't let it get so, you wrapped up in it so much that you fail to do, that you fail to help somebody to see our very lives. If we'll live our lives for God, we'll be a witness to them that Jesus is the one you need to see. Jesus is the one you need to see. He is the light unto the world. Now listen. 7th verse, 2 Thessalonians. I want you to listen to this, because this is something that's going to happen. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what's going to happen. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. The Bible teaches us over in one of those gospels that I was in a little while ago. It says, you need to beware. It said, when once the master has risen up to shut to the door, and you stand without and knock, it shall not be opened unto you. I read over in Proverbs where he's talking about that simple one. Oh, you simple one. He said, I've called and you've refused me. Called, in other words, God has called upon your heart and you've refused me. And one of these days, he said, if you continue to refuse me, I'm going to suffering in flames of fire. That's still a loving God. Still a loving God. Remember, I told you back at the beginning, God doesn't have to give you time and time and time and time and time. He may do it. If He does, I tell you what, God's having mercy on you. But let me tell you, don't put your trust in that fact that I may be having a time tomorrow. Well, I'll seek the Lord tonight when I'm laying in my bed. Or I'll seek the Lord on the way home from church. You might not make it. You might not make it. So one of these days, God is going to say, ready or not, here I come. I want you to think about that today. Ready or not, here I come. God loved us enough to give us an opportunity to seek the Lord. He's given us a time today to serve Him. He's given me a time to be able to stand before you today. I got to say to you before I close, thank you for hearing me and God today. I want to tell you that some of y'all probably already know it, and I didn't really mean to bring this up today because there's really nothing to brag on my part, but God allowed me to live here just a few weeks ago. I thought I was gone. Thought I was going home to be with the Lord. I didn't tell you, honey, but when I sat down, I thought it was fixing to be over. I didn't say nothing to you. I didn't want to worry you. But when I sat down that night there in that church service, I thought God was fixing to take me home. But He spared me. He let me live. If you don't think life ain't precious, get down to a point when it's just about snuffed out. See how precious it is to you. Let me tell you, life is precious. That's one of the reasons why that I told you earlier that God said, or Jesus said, you must be willing to give up even your own life to have salvation. For there's nothing greater than salvation. To lose your life and be saved is far better than to go on and die in your sin and go to a devil's hell. I'm telling you, by the help of the Lord today, I'm trying to tell you, don't put off salvation too long.
Amen.
Don't put off salvation too long. I hope this rings in your heart. I hope you can't get it out. Don't put off salvation too long, for you may not have another time and opportunity to seek the Lord. I'll turn it back over to you.